This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris and Jeremy Connor out today. Cordell Woodland, what's up, man?
What's going on?
We call this the Soul Patrol.
We coming in the right way.
Oh, man, this is so much to talk about. You do a great job covering Baltimore teams, but you are a D.C. guy. I got some things I want to ask you in reference to them as well. But so much. We were talking about this before the show started. So much is positive happening around that franchise down there. And I'll say this as a guy who never really loved the quarterbacks that played here until now. Mm-hmm. It's great to have a quarterback in.
Oh, man. I mean, especially when it's something you've been searching for literally decades.
Exactly.
It is great to finally get one and feel like it's real.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the RG3 days and that went the way that it went, but this feels a little more sustainable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about that. George Pickens goes to the Cowboys. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's scary for me being a fan of the team that's in the NFC East has to play the Cowboys twice a year. Great move for them. They needed another option besides CeeDee Lamb, who's been great for them, but that had kind of reached his head a little bit over the last couple of years. It's only but so much you can get out of throwing the ball to one guy all game. You add in Pickens, great talent. He has a little bit of an emotional problem, which a lot of wide receivers do, but not all of them are able to contain it. He struggles with it at times. I'm curious to see what happens in those games where CeeDee does get 8-9 catches and Pickens is left to kind of get maybe 3 or 4 or something like that. I'm curious to see how he goes about that.
You ever saw the movie, the TV made-for-TV movie, The Temptations?
Yes.
That's what you're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's what you're going to have.
I could see that.
All that you said sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. But you are who you are.
You are. And I mean, for Pittsburgh.
The words of Jay-Z, man, you was who you was before you got here.
You can find a good quote in a lot of different rap songs, usually back in the 90s.
But yeah, that's we. It's no, you can't. Leopard doesn't change his spots.
Mm-hmm. He is who he is.
So good luck with that. All the Cowboys need is more drama. So I'm happy for that, man.
Oh yeah, I'm always rooting for the implosion of the Cowboys, and I mean for Pittsburgh. You lose one of the few weapons you have. You still don't know who your quarterback's going to be right now. It's a lot of question marks with Pittsburgh. A part of me is wondering if they're finally kind of just looking to break the dam and stink. Like they've hung around in the middle ground, which is the worst place to be. Maybe now they're just really trying to go all in with committing to sucking, and that's a tough pill to swallow, especially for an organization like that that has so much pride. But looking at their offseason, I just don't see a scenario where the Steelers are going to be good.
Yeah, I don't either. Had a chance last night to go to a fundraiser called Bourbon and Bowties, benefits organizations like Hope Ignites and Cool Kids campaign, Oyster Recovery Partnership, Simplify in America's benefits a lot of different things. Raised a lot of money last night. It was a great event. Thank you for the invitation, my man Jim from Capital Grill. Invited me down there. It was just great, man. I'm not a bow tie guy.
But you're a bourbon guy?
I'm a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
I'm a bourbon guy.
You just got to be one of the two.
I put that bow tie on last night, though. it was cool. It was a great event because you see a lot of guys, you know, a lot of women, you know, oh my God. It looked like Preakness. The women were dressed like they were going to a horse race. Seriously. With the hats on and the beautiful gowns. It was just a great, great event to be a part of. I will say this about Baltimore. You can say a lot of things about the city, but we know how to raise money for events, for different organizations. It seems like whenever we do something, it's done big. You know, you don't count in the hundreds or thousands. We do big fundraisers, you count millions.
Yeah.
You know, we know how to raise money for great campaigns and great events, and last night was another one of those. It was at the B&O Railroad Museum.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I think it's something with, you know, Baltimore being so small and close-knit, and, you know, everybody knows everybody, it feels like. So when people come together, something great usually comes out of it, and it's not surprised to hear that this was a great event when you say the people from Capital Grill are the ones behind it. I mean, that's probably my favorite place to go to.
Oh,
that's at the top of my restaurant
steak list. The steak is unreal down there.
You ain't got to convince me.
Yeah, steak is unreal. And it's one of those things when you because I Ubered down or Ubered back, but when you're drinking the sapling bourbon, they had Cordell, I think they had about 10 bourbon stations. That may be doing it. They had vodka stations, which I skipped the vodka stuff.
I'm not a big vodka guy.
But the bourbon stations, so you know, you go to like two or three stations, then there's a food station. Mm-hmm. You gotta eat.
Yeah.
You gotta keep it, you know, and it's the little small plates. You don't want to eat anything
just what
big,
you need.
You know, and they had I don't know about you, but when I'm at an event like that, they had some tuna and sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat that stuff.
No.
When I'm drinking.
I'm not a seafood guy with liquor. I can't do that. It was a scene back in the day in my lifetime that didn't happen to me, somebody else, but that's enough for me to be like, nah, I'm good.
I don't think I need,
you showed me that I don't need to go down that path.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe, I know you are happy. I'll talk about it now because you have nothing on the rundown about it. And I even watched it. I texted you last night. About those Caps, man.
Yeah.
Hey, even Rob was getting into it.
Yeah.
Empty net goal,
you know. When they went empty net, I thought that was going to be the end of it. I did.
You can't. Nah, man. You just had the Jets score two goals in less than 2 minutes to win.
That was crazy.
I thought it was going to overtime is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You mean the other way. You thought they were screwed. Yeah, no, that definitely crossed my mind, especially watching the Orioles. I was like, all right, let's just put a cap on a crappy day in Baltimore sports.
You know what's funny? That's exactly what I was saying. I said, I'm going to watch the Caps. I got to get one win out of this day.
Right.
And maybe, you know, Joe, maybe you nailed it. Maybe that's why I thought they were going to lose it. Or at least going
to
overtime.
When it rains, it pours, man.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I was thinking to what you're just saying right now. Can something else go wrong in my day?
Wouldn't that have been poetic? I don't know. I'm glad they won. I thought they played, like, infinitely better than they did in game one. Actually looked like they had a pulse. I guess we'll see on Saturday once they hit the road and play in Raleigh. So,
did they have the longest layover from round one to round two?
Both teams had like 5 days off.
Okay.
So it wasn't like...
Well, everybody reacts differently to rests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe they just came out a little flat in game one because they didn't know what to expect. Those two teams played each other four times in the regular season, and it was the home team won every single game. So... I don't know. The style of play that Carolina puts out there is a lot different than what the Caps are used to.
Are they normally very physical?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, that's what I noticed last night. Last night, the physicality level was...
There's a lot of bad blood between those teams also. But interestingly enough, I read this morning. This is Alex Ovechkin's lowest ice time in the playoffs in postseason history in his entire career.
Last night?
No, this entire playoffs. This is his lowest ice time. And I think it's because they're trying everything they can to just... remove him from the game.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to impact things. He's always physical, has a presence on the ice, but if he's only out there for, you know, four minutes a period.
I was about to say, see, to me, it's the same thing. If my strategy for the opposing team is to eliminate Alexander Ovechkin, and your strategy is to protect him, then I'm still winning because I'm getting him off the ice.
Yeah, I don't know if protect is the right word, but it's more of just, all right, he's not doing anything. We need to put someone out there that can actually make a difference.
Okay.
And they have the depth to do that. So it's working out well.
I mean, last night was the Tom Wilson game. You know, Tom Wilson was all over the place. Physicality,
even at the end, he's fighting at the end.
I mean, he's always good for a good fight.
These two teams do not like each other. I was telling that to people after the matchup was revealed. They are probably like low key rivals for the last like 4 or 5 years. A lot of people don't what they'll think of the Penguins and the Rangers, right, stuff like that, but. Hurricanes are in there.
Wilson skated by a guy and stopped and came back almost as if he was saying, what did you say?
Yeah, man. I'm glad he's on my team. If he wasn't on my team, I'd hate that dude.
He skated by him, then he came back and got in the guy's face.
Yeah, he don't
when you get in the guy's face and your arms are behind your shoulders like that, then you're just... If somebody puts their arms behind their shoulders, their hands behind their shoulders, and they're in your face, just go and hit them first. Because they're about to hit you. Don't wait. They are about to hit. When he put his hands behind his shoulders like that, man, he's about to hit this guy.
I mean, well, you never know. You can't let him get too close anyway, because that dude's fists are like automatic. But even at the end of the game where he's like at center ice chirping with the dudes, and at first it looked cordial, and then the ref comes in between, and I'm like, are they getting into it? I couldn't, because it was a fight, looked like it was about to start on the other end of the ice. So, to Joe's point, it does seem like they don't really like each other very much.
Action-packed hockey, I should say, last night. We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, I'm birds. Not looking good right now.
No.
Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The 0-2 swung on and missed by Holiday to finish the ball game. The eighth inning rally, the demise for the Orioles here in Minneapolis. Twins will take all three thanks to Brooks Lee and Ty France completing the rally in the eighth.
Once again, they left a village on base yesterday against the Minnesota Twins. This is not about not getting opportunities. It's about not cashing in on them. 2-for-13. With runners in scoring position. 2-for-13. The Twins were 3-for-7. They only had 7. The Twins had half the opportunities to score as the Orioles. And they scored 3 times. The Birds, twice, if I'm not mistaken, guys, twice they had runners on 2nd and 3rd with no outs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they came away from that situation with 1 run.
It's not good.
Not.
not good at all. Like you said, 2 for 13 with runners in scoring position yesterday. Just some really bad at-bats in pivotal moments of the game. And we've heard Brandon Hyde a couple of times, even yesterday after the game, criticizing, you know, some of his young guys and them not necessarily playing like professionals all the time, especially in runners in scoring position situations and guys taking swings at balls that they shouldn't be swinging at. I mean, I love Gunnar. I really do. But I'm watching him strike out with runners in scoring position at a pitch at his eyes. Like, dude, you're the best player on the team. And a part of me is starting to wonder if he's like one of the guys that Hyde is specifically talking about. Gunnar this season with runners in scoring position is batting 167.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great at all. And there, a lot of times it's not competitive. A lot of people are talking about these guys wanting to see these guys show emotion. I think in Gunner's case, he's a very emotional player.
Too much emotion.
And I think he's in his head.
That's too much emotion.
I really do.
Since April the 20th, the Orioles are batting 130 with runners in scoring position.
Terrible.
That sounds bad. Now let me give you the real numbers. That's 16 for 123. 16 for 123. Are they pressing? Heston Kjerstad addressed that.
Sometimes with runners in scoring position, I tend to try to do too much when you just need to dial it back and just put a ball in play and something will happen.
Brandon Hyde talked about after the game, maybe it's inexperience.
Mm-hmm.
I said this last year to Jeremy when Jeremy was saying that we can bring up, need some offensive help, go get Kobe Mayo. And I wasn't denying the fact that offensively Kobe Mayo could help in terms of raw numbers, but I think this is the point where you realize you need productive veterans on your squad. You need remember in 2014, you had a guy named Nelson Cruz who had been there before, been in the World Series before, produced in key moments. And late in his career, Tampa Bay Rays, remember they were making a run in the postseason and they got him? You know, you need a guy. That's why I thought Alex Bregman would have been perfect for this team.
Look at him now.
Perfect for this team. He's a productive veteran. They have veterans right now. They do. But no one who's going to be – you can't lead me from the bench. You got to go out there and do it. You need a guy that's going to come up, two outs. You just made the two dumbest outs with runners on second and third. Now it's my turn with two outs. Bap, base hit. Two runs scored. That's how you do it. Then you look to the dugout. That's how you do it, fellas. And for Heston Kjerstad to have to figure out that he needs to dial it back on his own is not a good thing. No, I don't think that guy would have been Anthony Santander. I don't. I'm not. You need a guy who has been there before, who has produced when he was there, in my opinion, Cordell.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. But I also don't necessarily subscribe to the fact that the Orioles are as inexperienced as they used to be. Like, these aren't pups anymore. These aren't babies. Gunnar has been around. What, this is like his third full year now going on. I mean, he's been to two postseasons consecutively. He's been a part of a 100-win team that's won.
Has he ever struggled?
They struggled last year.
He struggled at the beginning.
I mean, they haven't had a whole season of struggling. He particularly, they haven't had that. Like, don't get me wrong. They haven't experienced everything there is to experience at the major league level. But this is the bid that's been made for them by the front office. They have repeatedly chosen to go with their youth movement and to go with, you know, this young core that they have, as they should. But they have kind of neglected to bring in the proven productive.
And that's all I'm saying.
Like you're saying.
Give me someone who's proven, been there, done that. This is what manager Brandon Hyde has to say about the lack of experience.
I think it's inexperience, pressing. You can go for a wide array.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Let's go to Tony in Rosedale. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how you two experts doing today?
What's doing up, well. Man? How you, man?
I'm good. I'm celebrating my 30-year anniversary at SSA.
Nice.
Okay.
Got me to do a lot of good things I wanted to do in life. And
oh, yeah.
30 years and I'm off. Okay.
That's awesome.
Thank you. I got a question for you guys.
Uh-huh.
I personally always set Mother's Day as a landmark in the baseball season for teams to start making in-house decisions or whatever, moves, you know, from what they've seen over the first month. 6 weeks of the season. I want to ask you guys, because I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
At this point right now, mm-hmm. where do you go? I heard, you know, people talking about get rid of Brandon Hyde. That's the last, you know, decision I would make.
Well,
get rid of a manager right now.
You got two guys who spend a lot of time in that clubhouse. And I'm going to tell you right now, Tony, and I don't ask Cordell this after I get my answer. Brandon Hyde has not lost that clubhouse. Do you think Brandon Hyde's lost the clubhouse?
I don't think he's lost the clubhouse. I wonder if it goes beyond that with him. Like, sometimes it may not take losing the clubhouse. Sometimes it takes a different voice. But I don't think he's lost the clubhouse. I think change needs to be made to Tony's part, to Tony's point, whether it's Hyde,
I think the hitting coach.
That's who I banged the table for all last night on me and Ben's show, Fresh Take.
I'm sorry.
It was all about the hitting coaches for me.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I just wanted to know, what do you do? You start hoping Gunner and Adley pick it up and start coming around. You start making little moves with the phone system. Just where did you go now?
Let me ask you this, Tony. Mm-hmm. Because you're a big Ravens mm-hmm. fan. You're a big Ravens fan.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, let's say Lamar started off the season and he didn't have Derrick Henry and he didn't have maybe Zay Flowers. One of his tight ends was hurt. And you look on that offensive line – And he had two offensive linemen hurt too. That doesn't change Lamar Jackson's talent, but does that change the people? Will Lamar Jackson be as productive without those people?
No.
Okay. You don't question Lamar Jackson, but he's not going to be as productive. Now, with all of those people out, Lamar Jackson's probably going to start pressing and trying to do too much. Am I right? To make up for those guys out. Okay, so now you've got your top three starters out. You've got your all-star third baseman out. You got last year's runner-up and rookie of the year out. And you've got the guy who was productive coming off the bench and spotting for you in Urias out. On top of that, you went out and signed the reliever that was really supposed to help you last year, and he's out. You've got a third of your team, if not more, out right now. So to me, even though we can say maybe the hitting coach is a problem, this, that, and the other, but, yeah, 6 weeks with a full team, you can determine who they are. 6 weeks with this team, can't determine who they are. Because even and I, that's why I put it in the football stands. Usually, if Lamar Jackson loses all of those guys, Cordell, he's still Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to be as effective. And now Lamar is probably going to try to do too much to compensate for all of those guys being out. That's what you have with this team. I don't like the results. But I don't know who they are because this is not who they are.
So I think it's impossible to tell the story of the 2025 Orioles to this point without mentioning the injuries.
Yes.
You do have to mention the injuries. I guess for me and maybe other people, the kind of, I don't want to say panic, but the distaste that we have right now for this team, I think goes back to even last year, where like you're going into the All-Star break, and granted they weren't the healthiest last year either. Adley gets hit on the hand, Westbrook misses a big portion of the season, their rotation was beat up as well. Some of the same issues were going on, but production wise you still need your best players to step up, especially when you're down so many other players. And I think that's the concerning part for people, is that it almost feels like a continuation from last year. The bad taste we had in our mouth from Orioles last year, it just feels like it rolled right over into this season.
We're talking NBA playoffs at 6:45, but on the other side, you know, we talk about some of the changes that maybe the Orioles need to make. The Pirates had higher expectations for their team, and their expectations were nowhere near as high as the Orioles. They made a big change. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 410-583-1057 is the number. Talking NBA playoffs at 6:45. What did you expect from the Pittsburgh Pirates this year, Cordell?
You know, I didn't know, because they were one of those teams last year that at times they got hot. They had the hot flashes. O'Neal Cruz having some miraculous games for them. So I didn't really have expectations. Paul Skeens coming off of a great rookie year last year, starts in the All-Star game for the National League. Or should have, I should say.
Well, he did, but he should have.
Yeah, I mean, and that dude, I think really made people wonder what could the Pirates be. So coming into this year, him, Mitch Keller, guys like that at the top of their rotation, I thought they'd be solid. I didn't expect that they'd go on end up losing 10 of 11 here recently and moving on from their manager in May.
Well, neither did the ownership. That's why they moved on from the manager. And I bring that up because their expectations, I don't think, were nearly as high as the Orioles.
No.
But yet they made a move in May saying that we're better than this. I don't know how good we are, but we're better than this. And maybe it's not your fault, Derek Shelton. But we've got to make a change. You said something earlier. You said a different voice. Mm-hmm. It may not be your fault, but you need a different voice. Do you think we'll ever get to the point? Well, what would have to happen for that to take place here in Baltimore, in your opinion? Because I think it takes almost an act of Congress right now, to be honest with you, for that. And I'm not suggesting that it should. I think you need to do something with the hitting coaches. That's my opinion. Get somebody from the outside. Don't promote somebody from within. But what did it take, in your opinion, for it to be hired?
Well, first, let me say, I agree with you on the hitting coaches. And I've done a lot of research into this here recently. It seems like there are just too many cooks in the kitchen these days. If you talk to...
With us or baseball in general?
With the Orioles, but also in baseball in general. It seems like a lot of takes that I'm reading from longtime hitting coaches... They feel like in this new age, day and game, with analytics being analytically driven, anybody that's picked up a baseball bat feels like they know how to hit. So now what you have is the average tenure for a hitting coach these days is less than 2.5 years. So it's continuous movement, and you're getting a lot of different voices thrown into the pot. So you think of some of the old great hitters that weren't oblivious to having slumps as well, but they were kind of more self-reliant. They got kind of tasked to get out of it on their own.
Somebody just picked up Brett Boone. Was it the Mariners? The Rangers. The Rangers just picked up Brett Boone. He's a guy now, you insert your steroid jokes because he was a guy who was on it, but he's a former major league hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's also a lot of cooks in the kitchen in terms of doing something as simple as making lineups.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's just not what it used to be. And you bring up a great point. I mean, you fired a manager, but the next guy in has to do the same philosophy that the last guy does.
Exactly.
So how important is the manager? 410-583-1057. Let's go to Parkville and get Eli. Good morning to you, Eli.
Good morning, fellas. I mean, y'all right about a lot of things, but let's be real. Are the Pirates really serious?
No, they're not. That's my point. Their expectations weren't as high as us, and yet they fired the manager.
All right, another point. Can we please get rid of the analytics with the lineups? Also, I watched 2 games out of the 3 series. I feel like the Twins had some home cooking on some of the calls that they were getting.
That play at the plate yesterday was ridiculous. Even after the replay, Eli, come on, man. He's safe. Mm-hmm. He's safe.
They had a few calls. I was like, I don't know. That might be home cooking right there. So, I mean, we'll test it out tonight. Y'all take it easy. Have a good Friday.
You too, man.
Appreciate it. I mean, somebody called into our show last night talking about them getting hosed on some of the calls, and that's there. That's a part of the game. I'm not giving the umpires a pass or anything like that. I'm just saying, even if the Orioles were winning, there would be times to where they're getting hosed on calls. It just makes it even worse now that they can't win anything, they can't hit, and they're struggling to score.
And they're getting bad calls.
I mean, it's been bad. The Orioles haven't won a road series yet. It's now 6 straight series where the Orioles have lost at least 1 game by 5 or more runs. They're getting spanked on a daily basis.
They're 13-23. Good officiating won't make them 23-13.
Minus 69-point differential. I mean, that's the worst in the American League, second worst in majors. Behind the Rockies, who's got their starting pitcher at the podium crying last night after getting knocked around. I mean, it's so to answer your question of like where it needs to go before something drastic like what happened in Pittsburgh happens here, I think they just got to keep going in the road that they're going right now because they're getting progressively worse. On Baseball Savant, there's a graph that shows the run differential throughout the year. Rob, this isn't great for radio, but look at.
No,
you can see it's a nosedive right now. The last 16 games.
That's my baseball.
That's been terrible.
That along with Baseball Reference are my two baseball Bibles. And I have not looked at Baseball Savant, Cordell, in 4 days. You know why?
It's nothing good
it's
to look
depressing.
At.
It's nothing good to look at. It's absolutely depressing right now. Let's take one more. My man Lou in Edgewood. Lou.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday to everybody.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Hey, listen, who would we make a manager change to? I mean, like, if we was to let go Hyde, who's out there for us possibly to get? And I have another question. In Norfolk, when the Tides were winning, it was just a few seasons ago. I think they were close to winning the AAA championship or something like that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the manager then for them guys?
I'm telling you, if they make a managerial change, Lou, in my opinion, it's either going to be Buck Britton or Robinson Chirinos. It's going to be one of those guys.
And let me ask you, something like B.J. Surhoff or Adam Jones or one of the Orioles from the past that really know baseball really well, any chance of them guys coming back and managing? I mean,
I know Adam doesn't want to manage. I think I could say that.
I mean, we can't. He's already got a job with those.
I don't think BJ would want to manage, but I bet he would be the hitting coach.
I'd be for that.
You talk about guys who know how to hit, and know how to articulate how to hit. He lives in Baltimore. You give out shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side. Oh, my gosh. Steph Curry is not in the game. What does that mean for the Warriors? And I heard someone ask, and we see it right there on the screen. Will Draymond Green be the reason why the Warriors don't win the title? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. NBA playoffs. ESPN put out the question, is Draymond Green going to be the reason the Warriors don't win? No. They're not good enough. That's not why they're not going to win. Don't start blaming people. Draymond Green has been that guy since the Warriors were winning multiple championships. He's not different than he was back then. Mm-hmm. He's always been this guy. So why is he the reason they don't win now?
He's not. Draymond's doing what he's always done. He's a third, fourth option offensively. And them not winning is going to be due to Steph Curry not being there. That's the obvious point. And they're going up against a T-Wolves team right now that's motivated, that's healthy, and
that's
really
young.
You get into this time of year, being healthy is just that's half the battle. And right now, that's what the T-Wolves have. They have a complete team, and you're not even starting to. This has been the way of the NBA for years, but the NBA is very star driven, individually driven. So we put a lot of stock into LeBron and Steph Curry and all these guys. But it's the complete teams that win these games and win these series. And I think that's what you're seeing right now with Minnesota. And same thing on the other side when you look at what the OKC Thunder have been doing this year.
The Warriors are 9-4 without Steph Curry. 6 of those games came with KD, though. I don't know how many of those were wins, but 6 of those games came with us. So they're 9-4 career-wise. The T-Wolves feature my favorite young basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
In the league, and that's Anthony Edwards. He injured his ankle last night on and played 34 minutes. He scored 20 points, still had 9 rebounds, 5 assists. I love him because he doesn't turn the rock over a lot. He only hit 1 turnover last night. I think they are a team that you better keep your eye on. However, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are on paper the best team in the NBA. Not so sure they'll win it all, though.
Yeah, I actually think the Thunder are just going to run through everybody.
Even the Nuggets?
I think
the Nuggets gonna hit him in the mouth.
The Nuggets are a tough out. They've got the best player in the world, in my opinion, in Nikola Jokic. You can never really count them out. But the Thunder, I love the way that they responded after that collapse in Game 1. I mean, they beat the brakes off the Nuggets.
They did.
In Game 2. And that's just who the Thunder are. You watch their games, and it's back and forth, and you go to take a bathroom break, and you come back, and they're up 15, high-five, and going to the bench because the other team had to call a timeout. I mean, you talk about a complete team, a deep roster. They have it all. They have probably the MVP this year in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's going to be – this Nugget series is fun to watch. You think Jokic is going to be?
If Jokic is not, it's because you have Jokic fatigue.
Possibly. And I'm not saying I have Jokic fatigue. If I had a vote
– Jokic. I wouldn't have to think twice about it.
I probably would give it to SGA.
Think twice about Jokic, man. This guy's the baddest man on the planet with a basketball in his hand.
He is, no doubt.
And the most productive one. It's no, to me, it's no doubt about it. I would love for SGA to get it, but Jokic is Jokic is so good, he's boring.
Yes.
He's boring. And I don't mean his style of play is boring. It's like, here we go again. Mm-hmm. He got another triple-double. Here we go. You mean, he goes again. No look pass. I didn't see that guy open. I didn't see him open. He is the best player in the game, and he's the most productive player in the game. He doesn't take nights off for no reason. Neither does SGA, so I'll give that to him. Come on.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. I mean, Jokic is – I love Jokic. I really do. I don't think you can go wrong with either of these guys. For me, Shea is just – granted, I think there is a little bit of new face. New name.
Jokic fatigue.
But also, Shea is a dog. I mean, he does everything. And granted, I will buy the whole if you take Jokic off the Nuggets, they're not doing what they're doing now. You take Shea off the Thunder – they're probably better than what the Nuggets would be without Jokic. I don't think the Thunder are here without him, but yeah, they're not a deep enough team.
They're not number one
seed. They're a play-in team at worst, I think. But
two teams that I was side-eyeing going to the playoffs. Two teams.
Hmm.
In the West, that team is eliminated. That's the Rockets.
Yeah.
The other team is down 0-2 to the Pacers, the Cavs. I was side-eyeing both of those teams, man. I just don't believe in either one of them.
And
me and Jeremy had this conversation before the playoffs began. They're just letting you know that. I side eyed them. I'm like,
Well, rightfully so. I mean, they haven't shown anything. You know, they haven't done anything. They haven't earned anything. Talking about the Cavs, they haven't earned anything. So, understandably so. They have this, you expect the Cavs to kind of choke it away. And I love Donovan Mitchell. He has been one of the best players in the league since he got in the league. And he does nothing but elevate his teams.
You think he's a dude?
I do. I just think it sucks for him that there's just never anybody else there. I think in Utah, it's always been him and then the band, Gobert. You know, it's just never a good enough backup option to help him out. Same thing right now in Cleveland. They've got a deep team, but Darius Garland is hurt. You've got Mobley hurt. Their key pieces aren't there for them right now. And you watching game two, as great as Donovan Mitchell was, there's no reason the Cavs shouldn't have been able to close that game out, even without Garland and them there. But the fact that he didn't have any help and he ran out of gas.
That's why. I can't say for a fact that he's not that dude, but I don't feel he is. Do you feel the fan base is starting to get a little tired of the Baltimore Orioles, ready to give up? We'll talk about that at 7:30. I don't want to put you on the spot, Cordell, but normally I toss it to the co-host. You got a shovel for us?
Oh, I do got a shovel for you. Yeah, I come prepared. I got a shovel for you for sure, and it's a part of my transit on a daily basis that I've been running into for over a year now, so I'm ready to hand out a shovel.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at 1057 The Fan. Hopefully, even Joe will have a show for us. Up next.